أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واصفح صدق الله العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite praise, perfection, glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace and blessings be upon His noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are here yet again, alhamdulillah, by the infinite grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gathered in His home, seeking His mercy, seeking His protection, and seeking His emancipation from the fire of hell. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our efforts, our sincere deeds to come into His home, and grant us His infinite mercy, in His infinite protection in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Alhamdulillah, yesterday we discussed in quite a lot of detail the various roles that a mother needs to play in the development of her child. And as you know, before that we talked about the mercy of the mother, and before that we talked about the stages of the development of a child and the influence of the father, that he needs to be there when the child is growing up, and the importance of him playing his particular roles during those stages. So far, alhamdulillah, from the beginning of Ramadan, we've discussed in quite a lot of detail the importance of the family, the values, the ethics and the morals that are required from every single one of us, and how the family is the nucleus of the society. If the family breaks down, so will the society break down. So alhamdulillah, we've systematically discussed family as a whole, and we've discussed the roles of the father, and we've also discussed the role of the mother. So we will continue, inshallah al-aziz, to actually talk about a very simple topic and discussion today, which is the relationship between the parent and the child. Whether it should be a logical relationship, an intellectual or academic relationship, or whether it should be something a bit more sensitive and a bit more understanding between both, which is an emotional bond and an emotional relationship. But before we get to that, actually, I wanted to remind especially all of our mothers and our sisters and daughters that yesterday was the day in which Sayyidah Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. She was the blessed wife and the most beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and she passed away on the 10th of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate her rank and grant her a high place in Jannah. But just to remind especially and connect for everybody the role of Sayyidah Khadijatul Kubra, she was a very independent woman. And this is one of the things that our women need to learn as well, that you should never be entirely dependent upon your husbands, even though it's a good thing. But nevertheless, having some form of independence is an important part of your own development. So she was a very independent woman, a very astute woman, and she was a very highly influential and successful businesswoman as well. So although you are allowed and permitted to take the money of your husband, you know, within means and what is necessary, nevertheless, it's also good for your own development, intellectual and physical development, for you to try to do something as well. Because your wealth is your own wealth and your husband has no right over that. So she was a very successful individual. She was a very successful businesswoman. But at the same time, she was the most successful and most influential wife as well. A great mother and a great friend and also a great stakeholder in the community. So you can see here, Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, how she balanced all of her responsibilities. Many of our women just about become half-decent women or half-decent mothers or half-decent siblings, but we need to do much more than that. And you need to always push yourself and excel yourself to become better, to improve and to learn more skills and to make sure that you not only benefit yourself, but you benefit other people as well. So the great character of Sayyidah Khadija al-Kubra was that she was a great businesswoman, a great friend of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and she gave birth to two of the most beloved sons of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, Sayyidah Qasim and Sayyidina Abdullah. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with them both. And similarly, she gave birth to the four daughters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, Sayyidah Zainab, Sayyidah Ruqayya, Sayyidah Umm Kulsum, and also the coolness of the eyes of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was none other than Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And we've learned in the last 10 days or so how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would express his endearment, his love and his affection towards all of his children, and how he lived very, very close to them, and the bond with them was very, very intimate. And this is a bond which is lacking, especially between father and son, between father and daughter. Children cannot read your mind, even though you expect them to read your mind. You need to express your emotions, you need to express your feelings and everything else that you have in there as well, hidden. So this is a very important thing for us to learn from the lives of all of the blessed wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and most importantly, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam himself. So yesterday, just to summarize for those people who weren't here, we learned that in the first stages of a child, the mother needs to provide unconditional love and affection towards her child. And then after that, she needs to be teaching her child the very, very important manners, the ethics, the values, the adab, the akhlaq that the child will develop and will stay with the child. And also for her to be encouraging her child, to inspire her child academically, socially, culturally, and religiously as well. And at the same time, not to be jealous when the child begins to fixate, or not necessarily fixate, but begins to incline towards the father. Because there are certain stages where the child will have enough of the mother, and then the child will want to make a bond and form a bond with the father. And even though the father may not have been there for so many years, it's important for the mother not to say, your father was never there for you, and now you've left me and you've gone for him, and he's nikamma, he's this and that. No, for her to understand that this is a natural process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has embedded within all of the children. So not for her not to be jealous, but and not to be negative towards the father figure, but to encourage that bond and that relationship and that rishta to strengthen. And then we also learned yesterday how she needs to befriend her own children, so that they can confide in her, they can trust her, and they can build that confidence and rapport, and that the children will go to the mother and the father first, rather than go to a secondary person or a tertiary person or those people who are no longer, who don't really have the interests of the child at heart. But in order for all of these stages to occur, the mother needs to fulfill her role, the father needs to fulfill her role as well, and ultimately we learnt at the end of yesterday's lecture that there will become a time when the mother needs to let go, just like we learned in the role of the father, that the father needs to learn when to hold the hand of his son and daughter and when to let go of their hand as well. And so does the mother. She needs to do this because the protective nature of the mother is always to protect them, to take care of them, not allow them to fall down, to make a mistake. But she needs to learn that, you know, she has to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she has to trust in her own nurturing and whatever she has taught her child. And then through her sincere du'as, she needs to constantly pray towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and allow the child to actually, you know, in the adult years and teenage years, to make their mistakes and to learn from their mistakes and to actually develop themselves individually as well. And finally, we learned yesterday the importance and the power of the dua of a mother. And we learned the various examples from the Quran, the dua of Musa alayhi salam's mother, the dua of Sayyidah Hajar, and so many other mothers' dua in the Quran again and again. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never rejects the dua, and how we as siblings, how we as brothers and sisters need to always make sure we take care of our parents, but most importantly, our mothers, because if they are unhappy with us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also unhappy with us as well. We learn this explicitly in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that be grateful to me, and immediately he says be grateful towards your parents. And namely here especially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating towards gratitude towards your mother for all of her sacrifices that she made when you were young, when you were completely insignificant, when you were weak, when you had absolutely nothing whatsoever. She was there for you, and she provided for you, she protected for you, and therefore you need to be grateful towards your mother. So the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can actually be found via the happiness of the parents as well. So that was a quick summary of yesterday's lecture, and inshallah al-aziz, we continue today to today's, which is a very simple thing. As I mentioned at the beginning, it's the relationship between the parent and the child. This is an important aspect to discuss, but more importantly, it's the communication that takes place between the parent and the child. How do they communicate, and what is the language which is used between the parent and the child? And we discussed at the beginning, if you remember, that we are living within our homes, but our homes are very, very isolated. We're living on our own islands within our homes. The father comes back, he's too busy, he's too tired. Don't talk to me, don't disturb me, let me watch my TV, let me have my cup of tea, let me read my newspaper, and that's it. He's not interested in the children. And similarly, because the mother's so tired, she goes, "Ja, piyo da sar kapao, don't disturb me anymore, go and sit down with your father." So the mother doesn't have time, the father doesn't have time, and the children are left through their own devices. Within their home, during the dinner time, when people are supposed to be eating together, sharing their emotions and their feelings together, and what's happened during the day, we are quiet. We're watching the TV, and we say, "Oi, don't speak, I'm watching the TV, I'm watching the program, let me see what happens in the program," and we're not even discussing or communicating even during the meal time. So within our homes, we're living highly individualized lives. And the example that I gave is we're living on isolated lands and isolated islands within our own homes, and we need to actually prevent ourselves from slipping apart and from drifting away from each other. So that to stop, what do we need to do? You actually need to communicate with your children. So the language and that communication is very, very important. But nevertheless, how do you communicate? Do you communicate through your emotions, through your sentiments, or do you communicate through your reason, through your logic? And this is a complete difference in how we are actually upbringing our children and how we should actually bring our children according to the Quran and according to the Sunnah. Naturally, those people from the Indian Pakistani tradition, they only see one way of bringing up their children. Oi, do this. Why should I do this? Because I've told you to do it. I'm the father. I'm the mother. I know. This is the approach that our parents take with us. And not, I'm saying all parents, but generally, this is how parents actually approach their children whenever they need to communicate with them. First of all, they don't communicate and they expect the children to know everything. So they automatically expect the children to know. And when they do finally bring themselves to communicate with their child, it's always in a negative way. So they're either using their logic, or they're using their power, their authority or discipline, or they're using their reason and say, "Look, do it because I'm the father, do it because I'm elder, do it because I have experienced all of these things." Whereas the method that they should be employing, the language and the form of communication, should rather be that of emotion, should be that of sentiment. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually created us. When somebody is parishan, somebody is worried about something, you can sit down in front of them and say, "Don't worry, don't worry." You can say, "Don't worry," 1,000 times. That doesn't stop them from worrying. They will continue to worry. Because they're already thinking about something. But if you actually just stand up as a father or as a mother and simply embrace your child and then say, "Beta, I'm here for you. Don't worry. Everything will be okay." You doing that is much better than you saying to them 1,000 times, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." Because the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is we react to emotions. We react to emotions, the changes that happen within our bodies, the hormones and everything that takes place. We need that physical reassurance. We need that emotional connection. When somebody has a headache, when anything happens to you, then you, even though you may say, "Take this medication and you'll be fine," children always need that particular physical contact. A child may be crying and your child may be 2 years of age. Your child may be 1 year of age. You can give them a lecture for an hour. Don't cry. Nothing's happened to you. It's only a little prick. You'll be fine. You won't die. You won't get a disease. Kuch nahi hovega. Mar nahi jaayega. You can say that till you go blue. But your child will not understand, no matter how many logic, how much reasons you give that child. And this is the same principle when there are 5 to 8 years old, same principle when they're in their teenage years, and same principle when they're maturing as an individual as well. What they require and what they react to is the emotional content. Emotive language is very, very powerful. Very powerful. Majority of the wars that take place, and the reason why countries go to war, is not purely based on logic and reason. They could give you reason upon reason upon reason upon reason that they have weapons of mass destruction, they have this, they have this, they have that, and they can go on talking and talking, but people will always say, well, let's sit down and let's try to find a solution, because this is a logical approach. This is how you try to sort out situations. But when they use the emotional thing, that look, they will come and kill you, put that fear in your heart. Look, they will destroy your home. Put that fear in your heart. Emotions. They are attacking and they are addressing your emotions. And when your emotions change, your fitrat changes, your feelings change, your thinking changes, and you react differently. When you are angry, you are emotional. You're not thinking logically. And what you go out and do is not something that you would do normally when you think about it logically. So this is what politicians do. This is what other people do to get you to react. They don't physically force you, put a gun to your head and say, I'll give you all of these evidences. Look, you have to go out and do something. No. They play the emotional card. They play the emotional game. And when they get your heart to turn, when they get your emotions to go up and down, that's when they win you over, and that's when they control you, and that's when they manipulate you. So why is it that we do not understand the fitrat? That we do not understand the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us? And this is why our parents are lacking and they are failing in their approach and in their communication with their child. You can shout at your child, but your child will listen in one ear and get it out the other. But if you just look at your child and you yourself are upset, or you are crying, and they can see that reaction, your child will automatically react to that. I'm an adult, but when I'm upset, or when I cry at home, deliberately cry at home, my daughter, who's only 20 months, she's barely 2 years, when she sees me upset, she reacts automatically. When I deliberately try to cry, she automatically cries with me as well. This is an emotional reaction. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created children. They react to emotion. And you see the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, throughout the seerah, he never used to stand up on the khutbah, on the minbar, and give hundreds and hundreds of reasons. He used to calmly, emotionally talk to the sahaba ikram and connect with them heart to heart. This is how he used to connect with them. And then when the emotions used to move, they used to see how powerful their reactions were. So this is what you need to do. You need to connect with your child emotionally. But in order for you to connect with your child emotionally, you have to go back to the last 10 lectures that I've mentioned and see what the father needs to do during the year 0 to 3. What he needs to do between 3 and 5 and 7. All of these stages, what he needs to do, how he needs to bond, how he needs to connect, how he needs to communicate, all of these things, you need to go back and reflect on those. We go back for the mother as well and reflect on these things to see how we need to emotionally interact with our children. The only way that you can actually get your child to do something, you can shout at them, you can force them and say, I'll do this, I'll take away your stipend, I'll take away this and that. But then they'll still be stubborn. They'll still be arrogant. They'll say, so what? What's the worst that you can do? But when you emotionally connect with them, you just have to look at them and then they'll go automatically and they'll go and they will do it. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ would do. The Sahaba Ikram would merely recognize the frustration, the anger, the joy, the happiness, the love and affection on the face of the Prophet ﷺ, and would automatically do something. He would never have to raise his voice. He would never have to shout or scream or give the Sahaba Ikram hundreds of reasons. We stand here and we go blue on the minbar and we give you hundreds of reasons. Donate in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do this, this is good for you. Do this, this is beneficial for you. But until you do not connect with your heart to the Quran and you do not connect your heart to the Prophet ﷺ, we will stand here till eternity. We will stand here till Qiyamah. Your states will not change. Your heart needs to change. This is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does talk to the intellect and He says, use your brain, use your logic to understand, but to understand my signs, to understand the creation, to understand that I exist and that I am the creator. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about other things, He always addresses the heart. Purify your heart, purify your thoughts, get closer to your parents, do goodness to your family, to your neighbors and to your friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of these instances, He talks to the heart because the heart is where the emotions are. This is where the feelings are. So you need to understand the importance, the gravity and how much sway you can have as a parent, as a father, as a mother, just by communicating, talking with your child emotionally. That doesn't mean subuh sham, you're crying and then you use your tears to get your children to do what you do. No, You don't have to cry in order for you to express your emotions, but just through subtle changes in your facial expression, subtle changes in the tone, in the pitch of your voice, your children will see and realize the emotions that you are going through, how you are silent. And silent treatment is another emotion. Anger is another emotion. All of these are different emotions, and we need to understand these emotions and use them effectively if we want to become successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has automatically placed this emotional connection and bond between husband and wife. Between husband and wife, it's not a logical reason. When people get married, it's not purely based on logic or calculation and everything. The bond that is created when they are together intimately and when they are spending time together is an emotional bond. It's an emotional connection. The same way that the child makes an emotional connection with the mother. The child doesn't look at the mother when it's 6 months old and think, yeah, she looks okay. She doesn't seem like a horrible person. Chalotika, logic dictates she's my mother and I'll listen to her. No, it's an emotional bond. The child reacts to emotion. Similarly, the love between parents for their children is an emotional connection. The parent doesn't think, well, when he grows up, then he's going to make this much money, and then he's going to take care of me, she's going to do this, he's going to do that. That's all in the future. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. That's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bond that the parent has for a child is an emotional bond. It's that emotions that causes the father to work overtime. It's the emotions that causes the mother to sleep on the wet side of the bed. It's the emotion that causes her to sacrifice so much for the children's sake. It's the emotions again and again. Even the child's love for their parents, it's the emotions. The love that we have for other people, for mankind, is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an emotion. So we need to understand the importance of these emotions, but at the same time, we need to understand how to express our emotions in the correct way, with tenderness, with politeness, with kindness, with the tone of your pitch and with the expressions of your face. So coming back to the beginning, today our fathers may be communicating with us. Our mothers may be communicating with us, but they're not communicating with us emotionally. They're not communicating with us emotionally. They're communicating based on pure logic, pure reason, and whether they're criticizing you or your particular actions. But if they simply communicate with you emotionally and they've built that bond through all of those years, then your child will basically be in your hand. Just like sometimes a mother-in-law says, you know, she's got her husband, haath ke niche, ungli ke niche, something akin to that. The point is that you can have your children do whatever you want, jump through hoops, but only if you communicate with them emotionally and you correct with them emotionally as well. Otherwise, no matter how much logic you give them, how much reason you give them, they'll be defiant and they'll be stubborn. So you can only win people over, you win their hearts over. Once you win their hearts over, then that's it. They are yours. They are your ghulams for the rest of your life. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam never addressed the Sahaba ikram through pure logic and through pure reason. He showed them through his character and how much love he had for them. How he brought the poor people together. He brought the tribes together. He brought the nations together. And he said, everybody is equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The woman has the right to do this. The man has the right to do this. The children have particular rights. He showed and expressed his emotions every single time something would happen. When something bad would happen, he would express his anger or frustration or his sorrowful nature. All of these things are the emotions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So the first verse that I recited at the beginning of the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very, very powerful and very, very beautiful example of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He mentions, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيزَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِهِ. That if it was not for the emotional nature and for the mercy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, mercy is not something which is tangible. It's not something which is purely logical. You can't express this through logic or through academia or through intellect. Mercy is an emotional trait that you have to be merciful towards your family members or your enemies and your friends. Mercy is one of those things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. If it was not for the emotional and the merciful aspects of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, that he was kind towards his people, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيزَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If he was harsh natured, if he was stubborn, if he was arrogant and he was constantly defiant and not nice or approachable, then people would never have come to the Prophet alayhi wasallam, and neither would they have ever approached Islam or come to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can win your neighbors over. You can win
your colleagues over. You can win every single person over, not through logic, not through providing evidence and say, look, the Quran talks about this. The Prophet said this 1400 years ago. Yes, that has a place and that has a time, but you can win people over purely through your emotion, through your feeling. When you see other people who are hurt, who are upset, and you react to that, people will see you and say, well, this is a half decent guy. He's not stubborn. He's not arrogant. He's not defiant. He actually has emotions and his feelings. He's actually a human, unlike the program on Channel 4, which is about humans, which is actually about, you know, robots. But nevertheless, the point is you have to show emotions in order for people to say, yes, he's human and he's not just a robot and he's not just, you know, being pedantic or he's just talking about particular things. You need to express your emotions. So coming back to the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the mercy, it is the rahmah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his expressions of his emotions towards people that incline people towards him and the deen. But if he was harsh or stubborn, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, harsh-hearted, stubborn, arrogant, لَنْفَدُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, people would have run away from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Today, people are running away from Muslims. People are running away from Islam because we are not kind-hearted. We are not soft. We are not emotional. There's a time for us to be staunch and strong and stand up for our deen. But the other times, we need to be soft when we're interacting with each other, with our colleagues and everything, are not. The first reaction should not be, no, how dare you, no, I'm not going to do this, or nothing like that. We should react more emotionally the way the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam was, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, and the way that he has created every single human being to react to emotion. Why is it that certain symphonies, certain musics will play at the chords of your heart? They'll bring about a certain feeling or emotion. Or when you see a mother crying for her child, even though it may be in a drama, you end up crying as well because you can relate to that. You can sympathize with that situation, or you can at least empathize with that situation as well. It's all your emotions telling you that this is natural, this is good. And to express your emotions is something which is beneficial for you. And what we do as Asians, as human beings, we retain all of our emotions. We never express our love or affection towards our children, just stern face and say, that's it, karo, karo. And when it's too late and when they're old, and then you start to express your emotions, but you've lost your children. You've lost that bond, you've lost that opportunity. So it's very important for us to understand that communication is much more effective through emotions, but emotions in the correct way, you can actually make a lot of difference in the life of those people that are around you. Coming to how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would use this, because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught him, wa'allama, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam everything within the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam everything which was beneficial and necessary for him to know. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam understood biology, he understood psychology, he understood hormones, he understood social interactions and all of these things. And this is how he deployed his life, and he made sure that he understood people and people understood him as well. How did he do that? He went to Sayyidina Mu'az. Mu'az ibn Jabal was a great Sahabi of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And look at how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam wanted to teach him something. He would hold his hand. He held the hand of Mu'az ibn Jabal and he said that, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask yourself, when was the first time your parents ever held your hand and they said, Beta, I love you? And if parents simply express that notion, it would melt the heart of the most stubborn child. A child may be arrogant and they may do the most putty things at home, but try to understand why they are doing it. They are doing it because they want your attention. They are doing it because they want some emotional support. They want the comfort. They want for you to be there and for them to know that you are actually meaning something to them. This is why children behave majority of the time in an adverse manner. But if children are always being taken care of and loved up and nurtured in a lovely environment, then children won't react in that particular way. So ask yourself, when was your parents saying to you, Puttar, I love you, and hugged you or held your hand? Look at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He doesn't need to hold the hand of Mu'az ibn Jabal. He doesn't need to express his love for Mu'az ibn Jabal, but to incline him and to actually teach him something beneficial. This is how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam employs this particular strategy. He holds his hand and he holds it firmly, and not just dilajillah, just like we say, tika tika, or we shake with people's hands and we just say, Assalamu alaikum, and that's it. No, when your hands meet, your hearts need to meet as well. When you hug people, your hearts need to meet when you're hugging the other person. Not just hug them physically with your body, not just hug them physically with your hand, with your heart, with your emotions, so that they actually feel like, this person has hugged me. When the Prophet ﷺ would address people, he would turn his entire body to that person and give them their, his undivided attention and say, here I am emotionally and physically here before you. I am listening to you actively. Our parents, they're doing something else and they say, yeah, tika, jo marzi karne kar. No, you need to physically and emotionally connect with your child. So coming back to the hadith of Mu'az ibn Jabal, the Prophet ﷺ physically holds Mu'az ibn Jabal, holds his hand tight, and he says, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love you. And then he teaches Mu'az ibn Jabal a beautiful dua. He teaches Mu'az ibn Jabal the dua, which is, Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. This is a beautiful dua that Mu'az ibn Jabal, he retained and he kept it with him. I tell you, day on day, week on week, on Friday, a particular verse of the Quran, a particular hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it comes into one ear, goes out the other. It may stay with you for a few moments, but then after that, summun bukmun umyun, then you forget everything and that's it. You move on, tika kam ogen namaz hogi, and that's it. But Mu'az ibn Jabal, he was taught this particular dua from the Prophet ﷺ after the emotional contact. And you will know this for yourselves, that what are your most fondest memories of your childhood? The fondest memories and the most powerful memories that you have as individuals, even though you may be 50, even though you may be 70 or any age, those are the emotional stories. Those are the emotional feelings that you had when you were a child, when your father was smiling, or when you were on a swing together, when you had an ice cream together, when you were walking together somewhere, when you went on a holiday together and you were happiness, or when you were angry, when you had an accident. These are all emotional beings, emotional states of beings. And those emotional feelings stay with you for the rest of your life. And the rest of the thing, you forget and it becomes hazy and it becomes fuzzy. Those emotional things stay with you. So the Prophet ﷺ, what does he do? He incites that emotional reaction in Mu'az ibn Jabal, that he remembers this, that the Prophet ﷺ held my hand. When some great sheikh holds your hand, when some great sheikh hugs you, you remember that and you tell everybody, such and such person, flower person, he did this and he did that. It stays with you because it's an emotional connection and an emotional bond. Same with Mu'az ibn Jabal, the Prophet ﷺ emotionally connects with him, his heart to his heart, his hand to his hand, and he can feel the, the blood of the Prophet ﷺ gushing through his hands. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, when he has his undivided attention, I'm teaching you this dua, Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, that, oh Allah, help me always remember you and help me always to thank you and to worship you as you deserve. This is a dua that he taught Mu'az ibn Jabal. And because of that emotional contact, Mu'az ibn Jabal, even though he probably had heard so many other things from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so many other statements, because of this emotional contact, he shared this dua with every single other sahabi. And this is why we are sat here today, 1400 years later, and we are reciting the same dua that Mu'az ibn Jabal was taught by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because of that emotional connection, that emotional bond. So if you want your children to remember the Quran, to remember the ahadith, to remember certain verses of the Quran, connect with them emotionally. Sit down with them and actually share with them what that verse means to you, how that verse changed your life around, what that hadith did for you, how you have transformed and changed because of that hadith. Share with them, hold them, embrace them, hug them, sit with them in your lap. Share with them how important these things are, and then these emotional things will stay with them for the rest of their life. But if you just say, Oja, masjid ja namaz par, Oja, masjid da ye kar, there's no emotional bond, there's no emotional connection, it will not stay with them for the rest of their life, because it's just something that's gone in their brain, it's been processed and then been put somewhere in the deepest, darkest part of their brain. This is not going to be there. But those emotional connections are so powerful, they stay with you till the rest of your life. This is why the Sahaba Karam would always remember, this is where the Prophet held me, this is where he hugged me, this is where he embraced me, this is where he kissed me, this is where he did this, this is where he did that. And we find these athar, we find all of these relics in these beautiful places of the Sahaba Karam, saying, this is where we did sajda together, this is where we prayed namaz together, because of the emotional thing. Not because Rasul just simply said, uthe jaake par, uthe jaake par, uthe ekar. No. He did it together, and they shared that emotion and that bond. And this is what we are lacking as parents. We're not bonding with our children, and we're not expressing or communicating with them emotionally. If we did that, then they would stay with them for the rest of their lives. So next time you need to teach your child something beneficial, whether it's something related to culture or society or community or religion, instead of criticizing them, instead of frowning at them, pointing the finger and say, you better do this. I know, otherwise you're such and such person. No, sit down with them, connect with them, and instead of criticizing them and giving them a lecture, show your emotions and your feelings. And then, after your emotions and your feelings, then give a reason and a logic. We always do it the other way around. We shout at them, scream at them. After we've done all of that, then we say, Putter, this is good for you because of this reason. It's completely wrong way around. We need to emotionally connect with them. And after we've emotionally connected, share with them whatever we need to share, and then give them the reason. As they say, Hamari Ganga Ulti Chalti Hai. Our Ganga, you know, the river Ganges or the River Thames in the UK is running the wrong way around. So we need to make sure that we are working the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, which is emotions first, and then logic, and then reason, and not the other way around. Otherwise, you will not have a constructive dialogue, you will not have a productive communication with your family members at all. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, with another sahabi, his name was Abu Umama, a beautiful sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam turned to him and he said that his heart would soften when he would see certain people. So he's addressing Abu Umama and saying that whenever I see certain people, my heart melts for them. Just like a mother says, you know, my heart melts when I see my son or my daughter, or when you have a loved one and you say, ahad, mazaj, and then when I see you. This is one of the expressions. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying to Abu Umama that when I see certain people, my heart melts. After getting his attention, then he says to Abu Umama, you are one of those men. That when I see you, my heart melts for you. My heart inclines towards you, that I am gravitating towards you, Abu Umama, because of your akhlaq, because of your adab. Then after saying this, look, the emotional connection, look at how the development is going on. After grabbing his attention and connecting with him, and because what would we do? If somebody says to you, ah, tu bada sona, then we naturally, we begin to smile and shy, and we think, ah, bada changa banda, you know. But this is how the Prophet ﷺ, he understands. So he's saying, look, when I see certain people, my heart melts. You are one of those people that my heart melts towards. And then he says, well, whenever you go home, he's teaching him something now. Do you see the logic and reason followed? This lesson comes afterwards. So he's saying that whenever you go home, make sure you always salute your family members. And so therefore, Abu Umama, whenever he used to go home, he'd always knock on the door and he would have a smile on his face and he would be saluting his family members in a polite manner, in a loving manner, in a caring manner, and an affectionate manner. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala loves him, and therefore he must love the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he must love his own family as well, because he's learned something. When you teach somebody something emotional, it stays with them, and then they share that with other people more eagerly because of that emotional bond and that emotional connection as well. So there's lots more for me to share, but unfortunately, as you know, today we don't have enough time. But I'll just finish off with one more hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that related to Sayyidina Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, when he saw this young lad at that time, he would always incline towards him and spend a huge amount of time with him. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, once yet again, he embraced Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, and then he held him tight. So he embraced him, and then he held him really, really tight, and then he prayed for him that, oh Allah, make him a faqih in the deen, and teach him the deen, and so that he can have a great understanding of the deen. So imagine when somebody of great rapport, of great standing, he comes and he embraces you, and he does a sincere dua for you, how that changes your mind, because the emotions immediately come to rise, and you feel that, wait a minute, what this person is saying, I need to make this into a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this is what Sayyidina Ibn Abbas became. He became a great faqih. He became a great alim of the deen, and he was the counselor, the chief counselor of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And why? Because of that dua. But where did that dua begin? It began with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam embracing him emotionally and tightly and saying, oh Allah, give him great understanding of the deen, and then he became a great person. So, yet again, coming back to the original premise of our discussion today, how can we communicate? First of all, we must communicate with our children, because children can't read your mind and they don't know what's going on in your heart. They can only understand your emotions, your expressions, and your communication. So communicate with them, and regularly, not just e karna, e ni karna, about whatever's happened during the day, the ups and downs, your own emotions, your own feelings, your own experiences. And then, after communicating with them, make sure
you interact with them and you connect with them emotionally, because that bond will stay with them until the end of their time. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to become great parents, positive parents, encouraging parents, fathers, as well as mothers as well. And also for us to communicate with our children more effectively, more emotionally and coherently. Wa quli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Please do join me every day after Salatul Asr. And inshallah, as you know, we will continue with our lectures in relation to the importance of the family, the values, the ethics and the structure. All of these lectures are being uploaded to the website, the audio, and the notes will also be uploaded as well as the videos. Just like last year, we did the entire seerah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So you can find all of those videos and the lectures on the website as well. So please do join me and make sure that you bring your family members as well, so that they can benefit. Jazakumullahu khaira. Inshallah, now we'll have tilawa of the Quran, followed by the nasheed of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then followed by a small bayan.